I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 begins with a fairly popular passage, a passage we call the Lord's Prayer, or some people call it the Disciples' Prayer, an example prayer by the Lord. And after that, we see a passage of where Jesus continues his instruction on prayer. To get the context, we'll begin at verse 1, and we'll proceed down from there. So let's pick up at verse 1, Luke 11, 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, verse 5, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All right, here we have the context is the disciples are all around Jesus, and very likely there's other crowds around him. I remember back in my college days, I had the opportunity to be in a drama of Jesus' life, and I had the opportunity to play the role of the Apostle John, and there was Jesus and the disciples, and we did the Passion of the Christ, not the movie version, but just that life leading up to his death and burial and resurrection. And a part of the play was this actual story. And I, as the Apostle John, had the line, Lord, teach us to pray. I can remember as I played that role, and we were sitting around Jesus' feet and looking up at him, and this is the actor, of course, at the actor. And I remember, as an actor, you got to assume the role. You've got to think like that person, and you've got to looking there and seeing and asking this question: Lord, teach us to pray. What does that do to the person asking the question? Well, it places you in a position of need, a position of I am ignorant of some things, but I know you have the answers. And so that's the context here. As we see, I don't know which disciple it was, but we see this disciple looking at Jesus and saying, Lord, Master, teach us to pray. Now, they had seen Jesus praying often. In fact, in this very context, Luke says he was praying in a certain place, and when he was done, one of his disciples came up to him. It would be like if one of my children, I usually spend some time in prayer in the morning in the office, and it'd be like if one of them came down and saw me praying in the window, and they waited till I was done, knocked on the door, and came in and said, Daddy, teach me to pray. Teach me to do what you are doing. And so the Lord Jesus, taking this opportunity, spills out, proclaims what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, my purpose today is not to dive in and break down the Lord's Prayer. Just suffice it to say this. It is an example of how we should pray, how we are to articulate our requests, our relationship with God. Very quickly, you see how it refers to the Father. It proclaims praise to God in His name. It asks for God and His purposes to be done on earth. In other words, may your will be done. May I have a perspective that your will is the best. Give us this day, verse 3, asking for petition, asking for our needs. Verse 4, it speaks about forgiveness. And power, that's a powerful point. We could preach a whole message on that concept of forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. In other words, the disciples there are praying and asking God, forgive us, and we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In that prayer, the Lord Jesus is declaring, and for his disciples, listen, you realize that you need God. You need his perspective on life. You need his protection from temptation and evil. The reality is, and Jesus knows this, they are going to face temptations and going to face evil in their lives. And so again, in this prayer, he's preparing them for that. But now let's look at the following passage, beginning at verse 5. Now he's finished with the Lord's Prayer, or his example prayer, and he picks up, and instead of describing what to say or how to pray, he describes the passion that should be involved in prayer. Look at this. Picture the story. Which of you shall have a friend? So Jesus talking to his disciples around him. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. All right, this is the story that Jesus is picturing, and this could be considered a parable. And as we look at parables are stories that proclaim heavenly truth. It's important as you interpret parables that you don't build necessarily profound doctrines off of them. But they are heavenly principles for us. And as you look at the stories, you can see how Jesus masterfully uses these stories to communicate his point. And what I believe God is communicating here is that you pray because God is a mighty provider. And God is a giver much more than anything you have ever experienced in your life. And so he's going to tell these stories to show how God is such a great provider, giver. So you have a friend, you go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. This is midnight now. Okay, and midnight for them was like midnight for us. Midnight, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So the scenario is that I am in my house at midnight. A friend comes from a long journey, and is seeking lodging and seeking some comfort and rest and peace from his trip. Now, being a good friend and a dear friend, I want to take care of him. Be hospitable, right? Well, I don't have anything to give him. I wasn't prepared. I, in and of myself, have nothing to offer. But I've got a friend. And I know my friend has loaves. I know my friend can meet this need. So, unashamedly, I go out and I knock on my friend's door and I make the request. Well, the response, verse 7, he from within shall answer and say, Jesus saying this, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So we kind of look at that. That's quite a rebuff. What kind of friend is that? Well, the reality here is he is sleeping. He's in bed. He's with his children. I cannot rise and give thee. Jesus then breaks into the story and he says, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Okay, he's not going to rise because he's his friend. But because of his importunity or lack of shame. In other words, he doesn't have any shame or modesty. In other words, I'm going for this. It's midnight. I know he's sleeping. I know he's in bed. But I have a friend that needs help. So I am going to do this. So he goes with purpose. For that reason, the man will rise out of his bed, give him as many as he needs. And Jesus then says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. I want you to understand this parable, because this is something that I believe will help us, help you, help me, as we pray. Yes, Jesus gave us an example of how to pray, and here he's showing the passion or the urgency that we should have when we pray. You see, Jesus here is making the comparison that you have urgent needs in your life. You have a friend that needs help. You have a friend that needs God. You have a friend that comes to you seeking help. What do you have to offer them? What do you have to offer them to be able to help them through whatever the trial or difficulty might be? Dear ones, let's face it, in and of yourself, you really don't have anything to offer. I mean, you might say, I can offer practical things and money and a lodging and those kinds of things, but the illustration here is this. You and I, we don't have anything to offer this friend, so we go to someone we know who does. And Jesus' point here, that is God. You go to the one whom you know can help. You go to God. Now, in this illustration, we understand how that the friend, he goes to the one at midnight who's sleeping, and he doesn't respond kindly. He says, listen, I'm in bed. He doesn't rise because my friend's knocking at the door. He rises because he's knocking. He's still there. I need your help. That word importunity, it's hard to say even, but it's that idea of there's no shame. I'm going to continue knocking because I know my friend has what I need. Do you have that kind of passion and urgency in prayer to God? You see how important it is, your understanding and view of God? Now, don't take this parable so far as to say that God is mean and he just answers prayers reluctantly and doesn't want to get out of bed because he's resting. That's not what Jesus is saying. The point is, Jesus has everything you need. And he will provide as much as you need. But dear ones, you need to pray. You need to pray. One of the most fascinating things that I have learned in the last couple months about prayer is this ministry of intercession. Well, what is that? Well, you could look at it in different ways, but one aspect is the Holy Spirit intercedes, or Jesus intercedes for us on our behalf before the Father. In other words, He's a go-between. But there's something on the earthly plane that is a very true reality, and that is that you and I can intercede for one another. That's why we have prayer meetings. That's why we take prayer requests and pass around prayer sheets. It's this idea of we intercede for one another. And that ministry is pictured here. As you see a friend who receives a guest who is in need, and he intercedes on the behalf of his guest, and he goes to a friend and he seeks without shame to get what his friend needs. And he can do that because he knows his friend has everything that's needed. And that is God. Dear ones, we can intercede on behalf of people and go to God on behalf of the needs of people because we know God has the answers. We know God has what they need. And it is a special privilege for us to get on our knees and to say a brother or sister's name before God and say, God, this is their need. And I bring them before you. They're in need of some loaves. And I know you have them. And Lord, I plead and I ask you to provide for my brother or sister. You know, there's an urgency, there's a passion that should be in our prayer. Remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's answering their question, teach us to pray. And he says, this is how you pray, and this is the urgency with which you pray, and you can pray for one another. Notice here, prayer is not a one-time thing. You notice that? The disciples saw Jesus praying time and time again. And if there's anybody on earth that wouldn't ever need to pray, I would think it would be Jesus, because he's God, right? But he prayed over and over and over again. And I believe the disciples are starting to think about that. And Jesus here proclaims, this is how you pray, and this is the urgency or the passion with which you pray. You need to continually be in prayer. What did Paul say? Pray without ceasing. You know, there's never going to come a point when we should not pray. When we get to heaven with Jesus, maybe then we don't have to. I don't know. But while we're here on earth, we need to be people in prayer. And part of that prayer here is interceding on the behalf of others. Now let's take note of this. Verse 9, he says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now remember here, the context is Jesus is proclaiming God and as a giver. God is a giver. And he here is saying, you pray like this and you praise him for all that he has done and who he is. You intercede with importunity, in other words, without shame, because you know who God is. He has what you need. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Notice how this coincides with the parable that he's just said. It's the picture of the man knocking on the door without shame at midnight. I need help. I have a friend that needs food, and I don't have anything to offer. Isn't that important? I don't have anything to offer, but I know you do. God, I have a friend that's in need. I can't help them, but I know you can. I intercede. I go before you on their behalf. I ask. I seek. I knock. Verse 11 clarifies this point even more. If a son shall ask a bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? That's kind of a ridiculous thought, if you ask me. I mean, if your son or daughter came up to you and said, I'm hungry, would you give me a piece of bread? Would you give them a stone? No, you wouldn't give them a stone. You would give them a piece of bread. He continues. Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? I mean, you look at Jesus and it's kind of ridiculous. Lord, what are you saying here? This doesn't make sense. Of course we would listen to our son. Of course we would give him what he's asking for. Notice what Jesus is saying here. If you shall ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So not only is God a giver of needs, but he's a giver of the right things. He's a giver and he gives the right things. We have to hold on to that. Because there's so many things in our lives that are going on. Things that we just don't understand. There's people around us that are hurting. Whether it be physical or emotional. There are people that are hurting spiritually. And all of these things that are going on, we try in all of our human efforts to help them. But we are so limited. So limited. But we have a friend. We have a God who has no limits. We have a God who is a giver. And not only is he just a giver, but he's a giver of good and right things. In other words, he knows what you need. He knows when you need it. And so the principles here are these. We need to be praying and continually praying, knocking at your God's door and saying, God, there are needs. You need to understand that God is a giver. And he's a giver of good and right things. You look around and you see things and you may say, well, I've been knocking. I've been praying. I have been seeking. Well, you're doing the right thing. And the incredible thing is, Jesus doesn't say, do it for a week, does he? Doesn't say, do it for a month. He doesn't say, do it for a year. He just says, do it. He just says, do it. You know, I've been greatly challenged on this idea of prayer. And as you know, I've spoken much about it. It's no surprise that on a day such as today, this is the topic of which we cover. Prayer. In church, God wants us to be a people of prayer. We need to be. We've got to be. We live in a very, very dark and needy world. We have people all around us. Their need is for eternal life. And we are called upon to intercede on their behalf. Think about it. The unsaved people, you can go to bat for them before God. And you say, God, I pray for my brother, I pray for my family member, I pray for my co-worker who doesn't know Christ. Because listen, dear ones, they don't know what they need. They don't even know they're in need. They're blind. Go to bat for them before God and start seeking God's face for them. God's burdened my heart for this community and my neighbors to intercede on their behalf before God that they might come to Christ. You may have loved ones that do know Christ, but maybe they're physically not well. Maybe they're suffering or in pain. Intercede and knock on the door and say, God, I pray for them. I can't always be with them, but you can. Would you be comfort? Would you be a strength? Would you be a protection? You know what? We serve a great God. Hallowed be His name. May He be praised. May He be lifted up. May His kingdom come. May His will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your word and for this profound truth. And God, even as I stand here as a pastor before a church, I again am asking you, Lord, that you would raise us up to be a people of prayer. That we would intercede on the behalf of people, that we would understand that you are a giver, and you are a giver of good things, and you give at the right time. And God, you want us to be in prayer. You had Paul write, pray without ceasing, and now it just makes sense. We just need to be people of prayer. It puts us in our place. We are in desperate need, and you are a great God. Minister your word in the hearts and lives of these, your people, Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.